John.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate this.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes, it is, at this very crucial time. I just have to start and tell you that we're huge, huge fans of robots in the O'Connell's family. It's one that we go to often. I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, both boys, and we watch it often.
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks.
Sure, of course. And then, of course, you know, selfishly, I'm wondering, you know, we've waited 8 years for your follow-up to Robots. That's how long it took between Epic, and I'm wondering why and where you've been and if there are some projects that you wanted to start and they didn't fully develop. What happened during that time?
Well, that's kind of what it was. You know, I entered the gates of development hell for a little while there, but I'm back. You know, this is a film that I started. I was actually trying to get this on its feet while I was finishing Robots, and, you know, it just took a while to find the story on this one, and I tried another couple things in the meantime, and, you know, they're still in development, but, it takes a moment where, I can communicate the vision for the movie completely enough so that, you can get your production partners to jump in and pour in all the money and resources required to do it. So I think, I'm very grateful that Fox jumped into this with all of the effort and support that they did.
I'm very curious.
Just to finish that, they really gave me a chance to make a film that I wanted to make, and what you see up there is about the best I can do at the moment.
Well, that's what I'm curious too, because we've seen the development of the technology in animation. It seems to grow by leaps and bounds, you know, and I'm looking at it from an untrained eye. It's just an audience member who's enjoying what we're able to see, these worlds that are able to be created. And I'm wondering, with the renderings of the forest and how lush the grass looks and how amazing you're able to immerse us in nature, the setting of nature for this film, for Epic. I mean, how different do you think it would have been if you had tried to really get this off the ground back in 2007, 2008? Was the technology even there for you?
It would have been a little different. The technology evolves. I've been doing this for a long time, you know, and I have a pretty good idea of what we can do with computers. And there's no doubt that I've pushed everybody on this a little bit beyond what any of us thought we could do when we started. But, you know, when you aim high, often, you know, you get there a little quicker than you thought you would, and the film would have looked a little bit different. There are things that we've evolved that make the technology easier for animators to use, for instance, that probably would have affected it adversely if we'd tried it earlier, but that never changes. The tools are what they are, and you try to push them as far as you can.
And I guess at this point, then, let's talk a bit about incorporating 3D, because you've been able to do it, or at Blue Sky, they've been able to do it for a couple different films now. Do you feel a lot more comfortable with ways that you want to use that and ways that you think an audience is responding to it?
This is the first time I was behind the camera using 3D on every shot, and I learned a lot. And, at the end of the day, it is just it's just another element in your cinematography toolkit. It's another way to help set the audience's perspective on what you're doing. The distance at which their face is from the action, or how far their head is in the screen, and I've always loved 3D. I find it a much more immersive experience. I remember seeing Avatar in 3D IMAX, and I just thought, this is the way every movie should look. Just feel like you're swimming in the movie. So we took every advantage we could on this.
And not to reference Robots again, but that's a film that's begging to be redone in 3D.
No, that'd be great, thanks. I would love to get another swing at that. Another 6 months of animation, and I would have been really, really happy with that movie. But, you know, we did do it. One of the first 3D tests we ever did was on robots. Mm-hmm. The technology just wasn't quite there to distribute. played it in 3D, but we did do a scene in 3D. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool. Let's definitely talk about MK, the character, because I think that a lot of the parents who are reading the Fandango Family Room and the pieces that we put up there are going to be connecting to that parent, you know, the father-daughter, the mother-daughter relationship, whatever they're going into, bringing to the film. And I'm curious, was the hero always intended to be a girl, and was she thought that way to maybe counter what you had in the Leafmen?
Well, I'll tell you, the film, I wanted to make a big action movie at the beginning of this, and I wanted an ensemble cast.
Okay.
And when we started in, I wasn't trying to give anybody any more weight than anybody else. What I was really trying to do was show this story through a number of character perspectives and have them all weave in and out of each other evenly. But I think, you know, one way or another, she just emerged organically as maybe the central character. And I think one reason is that she has such a unique starting point. You know, she comes into the story with an objective, and that is to try to figure out if her dad is really crazy.
Okay.
And if she can live with him, and that gives you a platform for some really, I think, emotionally satisfying arcs between them. And you know, it's not the story about a girl that has to learn to wield a sword and be a hero. It's a story about a girl that has that needs some emotional healing, and through a very kind of nuanced relationship with her father.
And maybe I'm putting this on her, but I saw a lot of Dorothy and a lot of Wizard of Oz in her journey, even from the transformation.
There are moments for sure.
Okay. There's the father-daughter relationship and the scene that rips my own heart out. And since I know a lot of parents are going to be reading this, you know, we have a dad who's distracted and he's consumed by his work, which, you know, some people who are on the outside looking in at his work think it's sort of nonsense. And, you know, you work in animation and it's very, very time consuming. And, you know, I cover film and we're very, very consumed in what we do. You know, how personal is that for you? Did you feel like, Professor Bombas sometimes, because the way she says "I'll be out here" in reality was just a dagger. it hit me. So,
well, he was obviously very easy for me to relate with. Unfortunately, my family and my marriage is in pretty good shape at the moment.
Good, good.
I get a lot of support from there. But I just thought, look, what is a contemporary family set up these days? They come in so many shapes and sizes, and that I think that it's important to let people know that no matter how unusual your family situation is or how dysfunctional it may be on the outside, one of the messages of this film is that there's support and connection from places you haven't thought of. And if you just let yourself believe that those connections exist, you'll probably see them.
Well, if it wasn't your intention, I think you're going to have a lot of parents reaching over and putting their arms around their kids and hugging them just a little bit tighter during a few of those scenes.
Spending a little bit more time at home. But the other thing is, you know, there's a follow your dream aspect to this as well. I mean, let's not give too much away, but Bomb is not as crazy as he seems on the outside, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. He ends up being a very fun character as the story develops. So. Yeah. I have to talk about the voices that you have. You have some huge talents contributing their voices to it. I want to know, who are you most surprised to get? Like, who did you work with that you thought, I can't believe we actually have them in the booth here?
Well, there are obviously a lot of people that were difficult to get. I think getting Beyonce was a coup for us, and not just because she's maybe the most popular person on the planet, but also because her voice is so perfect for the role.
Right.
One of the pinch me moments was getting Christoph Waltz.
Oh wow! Okay, great.
In there, because I had no idea if a thespian with his pedigree was going to be willing to do this, but he was game. He was sold before he walked in. He was happy to do it. I didn't have to sell him at all, and he was a lot of fun to work with.
Now I love talking about performances, you know, in voice work, and how different was it for him? And, you know, did he really get it like right from step one, or did he have to realize that there's a lot of repetition to this and there's a lot of...
Well, he understood. He said he started the whole first session by telling me, you know, there's nothing I hate more than looping, which is not exactly what we do, but sometimes, you know, the actors are required to repeat their lines after the film is shot because an airplane went overhead or the sound didn't work or they mispronounced a word on the set months and months and months ago. But, you know, we do work in front of a mic and we do work in isolation, and he doesn't have the other characters around him necessarily. But he did say, you know, this would work better maybe if I didn't have to stand in front of a microphone, but if there was a boom operator that could follow me around, I think this would be, you know, if I could be more physical, I think this would work better. So he's the only actor we've ever recorded with a boom mic, and you know, he was able to move around the studio and really live this thing.
You better be careful, because if you let that get out, more people might want to be doing that.
I don't care. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess creatively, whatever works to get the voice you need.
Yeah, I didn't have to hold the mic up.
We like to ask people when we get them on here because, you know, I believe going into Epic that it might be the first movie-going experience for a lot of young kids, you know, who are just starting to get into theatrical experience and going to the movies with their families. Do you remember what your first one is, or maybe the first one you brought your kids to?
My first movie. My very, very early memories of a movie is The Wizard of Oz.
It is. Okay. All right. So there we go.
Of course, I thought it was a black and white movie until I went to college. and saw it projected, but I'll never forget hiding under our coffee table when The Wicked Witch came on.
Right.
And that's one reason I wanted to put, you know, some of the fun darkness into this one, because I loved being a little bit scared and I loved feeling big stakes. And
Again, I don't want to give too much away, but you use bats, and bats are just inherently creepy creatures.
Yeah, there's a lot of bats.
There are a lot of bats to animate. Yes, absolutely true. Yeah. Have you ever tried the Dark Side of the Moon experiment?
Yes, I have, absolutely.
With the beginning of
The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, did it work for you? Because I've never been able to make it work.
Well, yeah, they tell you to put the needle drop down at some point. I forget what it was. I've done it. You know, look, you could almost put any record to any movie and you'd find a way to sync it up. It's pretty trippy, though.
Ooh, what record would we put with Epic?
What would we put with Epic? Oh, man. You got to think about that. Nothing popped in. I don't know. You could put Flight of the Valkyries, I guess, at some point. That's been done, though.
Right. Something by Beyonce. Maybe a Steven Tyler record.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll get you out of here on this. Please tell me we don't have to wait 8 more years for a follow-up to Epic. What do you have planned?
As I can. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. The film is a lot of fun, and it opens everywhere on May 24th.
24th, yep.
All right, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.